I want to say thank God for the good preaching this morning. I really enjoyed that message. That's as good or as better than I've ever heard, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I do appreciate that message from the Word of God and for the man of God that delivered it. Psalm 121, the Lord said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there. I'm glad that all my help comes from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Amen. In my outline there, I've got the word keeper highlighted and underlined. I'm glad it's not my responsibility to keep myself. Some of you get that in a minute. I couldn't do it. If I was depending on me to make it to heaven, I would never make it there. But I'm totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. I am His responsibility. I am His product. I belong to Him. I am hid with Christ in God. He went away and said, I'll be back and get you. Amen. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, again, I ask you for the touch of God, the breath of God to be upon us, that unction that every preacher must have to be able to rightly divide the word of God. I realize within my own ability, my own intellect, I can't do anything but make a mess. But Lord, I do pray that the Spirit of God might help me to be the instrument of Christ that you'd be pleased to use for Jesus' sake. Lord, I pray for the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit of God to help us tonight. I pray you'd place in my mind, upon my tongue, the very word from heaven that you would have to be declared here this evening, that Jesus be magnified, honored, and lifted up. Whatever you do, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory, and world without end for what you accomplish. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I want to preach to you for a little while tonight, God being my helper, on the thought, in God we trust. In God we trust. Now, I realize there are some good things going on in the land in which we live today, but there's a whole lot of bad things still going on in the land in which we live today. And I'm not depending on Washington. I'm not depending on a president. I'm not depending on a political system. I'm not even dependent upon Baptists, because I found out some of them don't agree with me either. Amen. In the last 53 years that I've been saved and trying to live for Jesus, I found out that Baptists are some of the ones that disagree the most. Amen. But I'm glad that where I am in the midst of a Baptist group of people, that I am accepted some places in the beloved. Amen. You can't get me unsaved. Amen. You can't get me out of the family of God. Why? Because He put me in it, and no man is able to pluck me out of His hand. I am eternally saved on my way to heaven. As one of my favorite preachers, Brother Mays Jackson, used to say, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm tagged for glory. I get to go because I am saved by the grace of God, and my keeper is keeping me on the journey toward home. No matter what may wind up between here and there, no matter the circumstance or what may come along the way, I'm still going to make it to heaven because He said I would. And that's all that really matters. I trust the good Lord will help us tonight to understand that in God we trust. It's not just some little motto that some folks decided to put on our currency a long time ago. Now, that was a good idea. I like it. I'm glad for it. And I still appreciate the fact that we live in a nation where that is still on the currency. There are several in the world in which we live today that would like that to be taken off. There is a group today, brother, going along with a Sunday school class that wants to do away with the foundation we were built upon. They want to change history. They want to make everything different than what it has been for them's sake. But I'm glad that our forefathers came here with the idea that we're going to set up a nation that honors the Lord and magnifies the name of Christ. And our forefathers were here to build something for Jesus and not just for themselves. And there are a lot of folks, some infidels and some infrahels, who desire that "In God We Trust" be taken off of our money. But they're the ones that do not understand and do not comprehend it to place our trust in anyone or anything other than the one true and living God is the sure way of destruction for any people. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got chosen. Some of you are going to go off in a different direction here, but I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God looked down my way in mercy and love and sent the Word of God by, though that he could trouble my heart and reach into my soul and bring conviction to me that I was a lost, hell-bound sinner. I've been chosen to hear the Word of God. I've been chosen that the Spirit of God might draw me out of the darkness of this world into his marvelous light, that I might receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm glad God did not choose to send a few to hell and to send a few to heaven. He did not pick a little clique over here and a little group over there. He said, whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. And I'm glad, glory to God, I'm glad to be called a whosoever. I've been chosen of God. I have an inheritance, undefiled, waiting for me because of my keeper. Not because I deserve it, not because I merit it, not because I've done anything to earn it, but because he went to prepare it for me. Here in this nation, our founding fathers like John Adams and George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock knew that this little motto of "In God We Trust" was more than just a little group of words put together, but it was a profound, simple fact of tremendous spiritual truth. They're the ones that said this form of government will work for only a God-fearing and God-honoring people. Amen. It will only work for a God-fearing, God-honoring people. Is it any wonder to us today why we're in such a mess? Because we have left off trusting God. We have left off looking to the Word of God. We have left off in this nation in which we live and now making fun of those that trust in God. Only by exercising our faith to the point of complete trust are we enabled to be saved, first of all, and then after that to have a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I realize in the world in which we live today, there's not a whole lot of folks that really care about whether their life pleases the Lord or not. I'm preaching whether you like it or not. There's not a whole lot of folks that considers the fact of whether their life is pleasing to the Lord or not. Amen. A dear friend of mine down in Alabama years ago tried to teach me something, and I've tried to keep it in my mind, my heart, all these years, as he said, live your life for the audience of one, and let that one be Jesus. If you live your life pleasing to him, it really doesn't matter who else is pleased. Amen. Let that sink in good. If you live your life in such a way as you try to please the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, keeping the commandments, walking in truth, circumspectly, living a life that honors Christ. If you do that, it pleases the Lord. It really don't matter who else gets pleased. Amen. I can trust in God because, number one, the psalmist said here, He is the source of all of my help. He is the source of all of my help. No one is even near to becoming a child of God who does not realize that we are helpless, undone, sinful creatures, born in need of salvation, born in need of redemption, and born in need of completion, which is only found in Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. We are complete in Him. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we really look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we're really trusting in Him, then we can ask, and it shall be given thee. When we're really trusting in God, then we can seek, and we shall find. When we're really trusting in God, we can knock, and it shall be opened unto us. But until we really trust in God, we cannot find those blessings upon our lives. It's a philosophy being taught in our homes, in our schools, in our institutions of higher learning in this world, in the sports world, at the workplace, almost every facet of our lives, that we are to trust in ourselves. Amen. To focus. I've heard that till I'm sick of it. That we can focus. Get so good at what we do that we don't need anybody else's help. Get so confident within ourselves, within our own ability, within our intellect, with what we do, that we really don't have to have anybody else. I got news for you. You've got to have help from the Lord. You've got to have help from the Lord because He is the source of all of your help. If you trust in you, you'll wind up a failure. But if you trust in God, you'll wind up in heaven. Amen. That's far as I'm going. I don't know about the rest of you. That's far as I'm going. That's all I want to go to. That's the place that I'm looking for, is to get to go to be where He is. But I can't do it myself, and you can't get me there, and nobody else can get me there. I have to trust in Jesus as the source of all of our help. When it comes to the most important things of life, nobody can do it themselves. We must have help from the Lord. Since any lost sinner must come to the only source there is for salvation. One man got it. Since any lost sinner must come to the only source there is for salvation. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must or even can be saved. That is the name of Jesus. There is no other. Then if that be the case, we must promote, we must proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life by the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God and salvation for everyone that will believe it. The psalmist said here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. All through the scriptures, the Most High God is associated with the direction of heaven. Looking up. Before we are able to look up, we must be willing to bend down. We must humble ourselves that we understand and comprehend we can't do it on our own. When we acknowledge the fact that we are sinful sinners on our way to hell, bend our knees before Him and repent of our sin, then we can look up to heaven and receive salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only then. It's not by church membership, it's not by baptism, it's not by doing good deeds, it's not by anything that we might muster up, but it's simple childlike faith in the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, in the finished work of Calvary. You have to be willing to bend down before you can look up. I know that repentance is something that is not taught much in Baptist churches around over the country today, or in any kind of church anywhere anymore. Repentance is something that they don't want to hear about because it has to bust our bubble, break our pride, make us to realize that we are absolutely nothing but a sinner in need of a Savior. A lot of folks sitting on pews tonight are nothing more than dirt dressed up. Yeah. We're nothing more than dirt dressed up. Until we get born again, until we trust in Jesus, until the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, works a complete miracle within us and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Then we're somebody headed somewhere. Amen. Until then, back to the dust from which we came, with hell as an eternal home. But then we're not headed toward hell anymore. I'm not going to hell. I don't have to go. Even though I've had some conversations that told me that's where I needed to be. Amen. I don't have to get close to the place because I'm headed to heaven by the grace of God. The Bible says, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It comes to every one of us. Every one of us. You may think, well, preacher, I've never done anything wrong in my life. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. I've never told a lie. You just did. Yeah. Unless we're willing to repent, bend down, and then look up, we will not receive the source of help that we need. Oh, but I'm glad that I know one that looked my way. I wasn't looking toward him, but he came a looking toward me. And he wanted to offer me eternal salvation through his name. It was all by proclamation from him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he found me. Whoop! If anyone ever gets saved from their sin, then God must be named Jesus. Amen. That nails it down pretty good right there. If anybody ever gets saved, then God must be named Jesus. Why? Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, for by him, that is, for by Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In God we trust, because he is the source of all of our help. We need a deeper, fresher, renewed, day by day, faith for the life that we are meant to live in Christ right now and every day for the future, because he is the source of all of our help. Not only that, but he is the state of our happiness. I can trust in God because he is the state of my happiness. Then how do you figure that? Well, his constant care for me, his child, is one of the most heartwarming and blessed truths that I've ever known anything about. I know all of you here, most everybody here, has heard the story, heard the little saying, life begins at 40. That's a lie of the devil. Life does not begin at 40. At 40, it starts downhill, and the farther it goes, the faster it gets. Life begins when we get saved by the grace of God. When we pass from death unto life. When we can look and consider the fact that we can stand in awe. We love him because he first loved us. The best of all those who profess Christ as Lord of their lives in this world today, I'm finding out, have lost their all for God. We've lost our all for God. Oh, how we ought to reverence him, how we ought to acknowledge him, how we ought to be looking in his direction, humbling ourselves, that we can be happy in Christ Jesus the Lord. In verses 3 through 6, the Lord reveals through his word the thoughts and the manifestations of his care when he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Amen. I'm glad he's taking care of us. In verse number 6, we learn that the Lord is thy keeper. Our lives are in his capable hands to keep according to his perfect, faithful, and mistake-proof will. Whoops. Some of you didn't hear that. His perfect, his faithful, and his mistake-proof will. He has never, ever made a mistake. Amen. And it's amazing how many Baptists are upset at him, even if they don't realize it, because they didn't get everything they wanted. Things didn't work out just like they had it figured. They didn't get the job they had planned. They didn't get the vehicle they had planned. They didn't get the house on the hill. They didn't get the retirement account. They didn't win Publishers Clearing House. Amen. It just didn't fall into place, and so somehow, some way, they're mad at God because they just didn't get it their way. He is my state of happiness. Some of my favorite scripture is found in Psalm 37, where the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Amen. Amen. When I'm happy in Jesus, when I have humbled myself to his will, and when I keep it in my heart and in my mind that he's doing all things for my good and for his glory, then I can look up and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. How glad I am that I'm a part of the family of God, on my way to heaven, traveling along in a chariot of grace under the full blessings of the hand of my Father." Delighted with Jesus. I don't know, it might be good for me right here just to ask you, are you satisfied with Jesus? Yeah, some of you are shaking your head this way. I reckon that means yes. That's better. Amen's a whole lot better. Are you really satisfied with Jesus? And Paul looked and said that I speak in respect, not that I respect, speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not about what I can do. Preacher, it's not about what I can do. It's about what he can do. It's about what he's done. And it's about what he's going to do. If I'll just put my trust in him. If I keep him in the center of my life and trust completely in him, then there's no, this is not good English, but it's good preaching. There's no tellings what he might do. Some of you understand that, some of you don't. There's no tellings what he might do if we just trust in him. He is my state of happiness when I trust in him. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." It's amazing how many Baptist folks I'm finding that are wringing their hands and wondering what in the world's happening, what are we going to do? For over 2 years, there's people going around, everywhere I went, there's a wringing their hands, the preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when this happens? What are we going to do when that happens? What are we going to do? Well, my question was, how did you get to where you are now? Who's taken care of you up to now? Who's brought you this far? He that's brought you this far is, glory to God, is able to take you the rest of the way. He's not made a mistake yet. And he's not going to start with you. That ought to put a shout in a Presbyterian. He's not going to make a mistake for you or with you. Amen. Number three, and I'm closing with this. I can trust in God because he's not only the source of my help and my state of happiness, I can trust in God because he's my symbol of habitation. He is the symbol of my habitation. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is our eternal habitation. Heaven's my home, which we have from the Lord by proclamation and by promise. And Jesus looked at those boys and said, "Fellas, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We know that he led his little fellows out to a place called Bethany. And there he said, now, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Tell them all to get ready, because I'm a coming back. And as they stood there and watched, the cloud received him out of their sight, and he just kept going farther and farther and farther. And they stood there with their necks craned back and their heads looking up as they watched their mentor, their Savior, their Redeemer, going out of their sight. I can't say as I blame them too much for that. But two men in white apparel come and stood by him and said, boys, and I'm paraphrasing here, boys, what are you doing standing here? He gave you your marching orders. He told you what to do. He said, get busy. Go ye into all the world. Tell everybody he went away, but he's coming again. And those that are ready and are looking for him, he's going to take with him when he comes. Amen. 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 He that went away is coming back in like manner as you've seen him go. And don't let anybody, don't let anything rob you of the joy of heaven. You listen to what the Lord has to say in his word and trust in him. Hey, I've got an eternal home, secure and settled. I've got an eternal inheritance reserved for me. And I really do get to go. I really do get to go. It's not a grand dream. It's not just something I've heard about. It's not something I've read. It's something that's really real, and it's going to happen one of these days. I really do get to go. Amen. 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 Sister Justice wrote a song like that several years ago. It's very simple, but I like what it says in the chorus where it says, I really get to go to heaven, to the place of which I've dreamed. The Holy Spirit floods o'er me, cause I know I've been redeemed. And just as sure as he said it, I really get to go. And all that he really wants from me is for me to love him so. He promised, so I get to go. You're look at somebody close to you there and say, he promised, so I'm going. He promised, so I get to go. It's real. It's a reality. It's not something I'm just thinking up or not something I've just heard about. It's real. I really get to go to heaven one day. I really do get to go. The psalmist said here, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Notice he did not say pickle. Some of you get it in a minute. You have not been pickled. You've not even been petrified. But a whole lot of Baptists have been pickled and petrified because they come to church, sit down on their hands, and won't give a holy grunt for nothing. They're so unemotional. They've gotten so scared of being labeled as something that they're not, that they've refused to praise the Lord and give God glory for how good he's been to them, how good he is to them now, and how good he's going to be. They can't get excited about it. They've been pickled. They've been petrified. But he said, I've been preserved. I've been preserved to go out. Yeah, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I have been preserved to go out. But I've also been preserved to get to go in. It's glory to God. It's already set. It's already settled. I'm going to heaven because he said so. Sometime in the future, no telling when, maybe today, I'm going to go out. But I'm also going to get to go in. The God that cannot lie says it's all right. It's so. Centuries ago, the Holy Ghost smashed the gloom and doom of hell and the grave when he blessed Brother Paul to write down, "Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory?" If in God we put our complete trust, we receive victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. According to what the psalmist says, he's aware. Because he's aware, he's also able. And because he's able, he's active. And the action that he is making is amazing. Because he's pursuing, he's protecting, he's preserving. Because he's preeminently powerful and he's precious to my soul. He's stable because he's my sword, he's my shield, he's my strong tower. And in that, I'm safe and I'm secure and I'm satisfied. Victory is mine. I'm his and he's mine. And nobody can take that away. Are you trusting completely in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting completely in him? Are you one of his own? Are you one that's being kept in the hand of the Master? No matter what anybody else says or does, do you know tonight that he will take care of you? Lord, have mercy. That he will supply. That he will secure. That he will satisfy. That he will sanctify. That he will sustain. And that he will shelter you. I give you this and I'm done. Several years ago, there's a little girl about 3 or 4 years old was brought to the front with her Sunday school class. And they were all going to recite their favorite verse of scripture. When it came her turn, she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Some folks thought she missed it. I believe she got it about right. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want? Amen. I'm trusting in him. What more could I want? Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and right now my cup's kind of running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. How many? All the days of my life. I said all the days of my life. And then it's just going to get better, because then I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm trusting in God. Not in myself, not in Baptist, not in you, not in anybody but him. Because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Are you trusting in him tonight? Are you completely trusting in the Lord? Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but he does. And if I did know what you were going through, I probably couldn't do a thing about it, but I know one that can. He's able to take care of whatever your needs are. And not only will he, but he'll do it abundantly. Stand to your feet, please.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, grateful for your blessings, we're thankful for this word, dear God, that we've heard tonight, the singing. We're thankful for each and every one that's made put forth the effort and come, Lord. I pray, Lord, for this meeting, Lord. I pray that you'll bless. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me, but I pray that you'll help each and every one of us. And I'm thankful that I serve a God that can touch each and every person here tonight, dear Lord, and each and every person that's going to make their way in and out, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless each and every one. Now, there's several traveling from different places, Lord. I pray that you'll bless. I pray, Lord, for the ministers, the ministries, Lord, the mission work, dear God, that's going on, and those that feel called. And I pray for those that are putting forth this meeting. I pray for Brother Tim, Lord, in his church. And I'm thankful, Lord, they have this vision. They have this willingness, dear God, to help others, Lord, because it's a help to me. And I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come. I pray, Lord, that throughout this meeting, Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody that's lost, most importantly, Lord, I pray that they'll be saved. I pray, Lord, you'll give us the wisdom and knowledge as we go along our lives to witness to others, to be the light you'd have us to be, and glorify your Son. In all things we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.